You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Morning, can you hear me? Lovely. So we're going to be carrying on our series on the Holy Spirit today, and I'm going to be speaking on some of the names of the Holy Spirit that we find in Scripture. And as we look at some of these names, I hope it helps us to get a better understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and the work that he does in our lives. I think there can be a lot of misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit, can't there? And hopefully this series that we're doing is bringing some clarity to who he is. Growing up, I grew up in the 70s. I don't look it, do I? No. 70s and 80s. But in the 70s, there was, as those of you who have been around long enough to know, there was a big move of the Holy Spirit, and my parents were very much involved in that. And I didn't like it at all. They used to drag me to meetings, and I was about four, and everybody would be there with their hands up in the air and all these funny things going on, and I'd have my hands in my pocket, and I didn't like it. There was a misunderstanding of what was going on, because I was only little and I didn't get it. But as I grew older and people prayed with me, I had a revelation of who the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit is a he. It's not an it. He isn't an it. He's a person. And that's who we're going to look at today. So first of all, the Holy Spirit, that's the name I'm going to look at first. He's the Holy Spirit. He's holy. The Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And just because he's third in the list doesn't make him any less than the other two. He is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. And the Holy Spirit embodies God's active presence in this world. So when he moves, when God is moving among us, that's the Holy Spirit. He is a person, not a force. He has feelings. Scripture says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has feelings. And because he is God, he is holy. What does holy mean? I've put here spiritually perfect or pure, untainted by sin. In the Bible, it primarily means set apart, different, totally different, completely distinct from anything else. And that's the Holy Spirit because he is God. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us to Jesus. And when we are saved, the whole of the Trinity is working in us. I find this really exciting because it is the Father who ordains that we are saved. It's his plan. It's his goodwill. The Father has lavished his love on us. And it's his will that we are saved. It's Jesus who accomplishes our salvation. It's Jesus who died on the cross that we might be saved. But it's the Holy Spirit that applies it to our life. So the work of the Holy Spirit the work of Jesus on the cross is of no benefit to us until the Holy Spirit awakens our spirit. Claire spoke, where is she? There she is. She spoke so well last week about how the Spirit connects with our spirit. And that's what happens when we get saved. It's the Spirit that awakens our spirit and points us to Jesus and what he's done. And when we've accepted Jesus as our Saviour and our Lord, the Holy Spirit doesn't stop there. It's the Holy Spirit who begins his work in our lives of making us more holy and becoming more like our Saviour. And that's what we call sanctification. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to make us more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit working in our hearts that makes us more holy. Galatians 5, verse 16 says, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires." So when we become Christians, when we are saved, it's not a case of, right, I've got to be better. It's the Holy Spirit that we've received into our hearts who works in us and makes us more like Jesus. That's good, isn't it? So that's the first thing, that he is holy and he makes us holy. We'll go on and look at some of the other names. There are loads. I didn't realise how many names the Holy Spirit has in the Bible. We're not going to look at all of them. Those of you that know me would know that I would like to look at all of them, and I'd like to go into lots of detail and make lots of notes, and we'd all be going away full of knowledge and knowing the Holy Spirit better, and that's good. But I just felt as I was preparing this that some of the names leapt out. And I really feel this isn't an academic exercise of knowing the Holy Spirit better. The Holy Spirit wants to work in our spirit and in our hearts and to do a work in us this morning. So the ones I'm going to talk about are the ones I feel God wants to highlight to us this morning. And the first one is the Holy Spirit is our helper. We're going to look at a few verses from John 14. This was when Jesus was speaking to his disciples the day before he died. And there was loads he wanted to tell them before he went and left them. And John 14, verse 16, Jesus says this to them, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." And that was the Holy Spirit. And though he's talking to us as well, he's left us the helper. This word helper comes from the Greek word parakletos. And it depends which version of the Bible you read, how that word is translated. So in the ESV and the New King James, that word helper is used. The NIV and the NLT use the word advocate, which is quite an interesting word. We'll look at that in a minute. And the RSV uses counselor, and the King James uses comforter. So all these words are what parakletos can be translated as. And then if you read the Amplified, it has all of them, all in one go, because that's what it does. So the word advocate means someone, I had to look it up, but it's someone who publicly supports and advises someone else. So Jesus knew we couldn't walk this walk of being a Christian and following Jesus. He knew that we couldn't do it on our own. And so he asked his Father to send us someone who could help, advise, support, counsel, and comfort us. All those things. So if the Holy Spirit lives in us, and he does when we become Christians, when we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in us. And then he's a constant source of encouragement and strength to us. And sometimes I think we don't tap into that. We forget that. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, and he is a constant source of encouragement and strength. We are never alone. That word comfort, if you break it down, literally means with strength. You know, this isn't a weak, there kind of comfort, and then nothing changes. It's a comfort that comes in and strengthens us and encourages us. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. In John 14 again, verses 17 to 18, Jesus said, "You know him, the Holy Spirit, because he dwells with you and will be in you." That's amazing, isn't it? He dwells with us and in us. I will not leave you as orphans. We are not alone. Whatever situation you're facing, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we are not alone. We have the Holy Spirit who supernaturally comforts us in our greatest times of need, gives us strength when we most need it, and gives us peace beyond understanding. So we're at the end, we're going to pray about that, because I really feel that God wants some people here to know that and to be reminded of that in their situations. Okay, the next one I'm going to look at is the Spirit of Truth. And that is also tucked in the middle of this passage in John 14:17. And it says, Jesus says, I will ask the Father and I will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. And he is called the Spirit of Truth. And then John 16:13 says, when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. And what is the truth? What is truth? That's what people say. What is truth? This is the truth. This is the Word of God, is truth. The words of Scripture are God-breathed. If we read in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, I haven't written it down here. I don't think it's up there. Oh, yeah, all Scripture is God-breathed. And that means the Holy Spirit has inspired this book. It's written by men and women, but it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so that implies that the source and the origin of this is God. This is God's word to us. And through the Holy Spirit, he used human authors to write what is revealed in the Bible. So this is so much more than written words on a page. It's the living word of God. It's coming to us. It's God speaking to us through his Holy Spirit. And not only has the Holy Spirit inspired this, but he illuminates it for us. He shines his light on it and makes it real to us and makes it living and active, it says in the Bible, sharper than a double-edged sword. That's the word of God. And we were looking in our Bible study. There they are. We were looking in our Bible study this week. We've been going through the armor of God, and we finished up with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And there were some quite interesting words that the lady that's doing the study spoke about. And it's different words for the word of God. If you can go on to the next slide. The first word that describes the word of God, the Greek word, is graphe, if that's how you say it, graphe. And that means literally the book. It's the print on the page, the words on the page. That's the graphe. And we need that. That's really, really important. That's the graphe. The logos is the next word to describe the word of God. That's the message of the book. That's what God is telling us here. And that's really important. It's really important that we study the Logos, that we know our Bibles, that we know where the books are, that we know what the big story of the Bible is. That's the Logos. And then the third word is Rhema. And that's the living word of God spoken right into your life. The Rhema word of God is a specific, present, active word from God that speaks right into your spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit that shines his light on a particular passage or verse, which then quickens your spirit and, wow, pow, God speaks right into your situation or circumstance. How many people have experienced that the word of God just goes, pff. And it might be a passage that you have read many, many times, over and over, and then suddenly you're reading it in a certain circumstance and the Holy Spirit goes, and it speaks to you. And that's the Rhema word of God. That's the Holy Spirit speaking his truth right into your situation. I just give a couple of personal testimonies of that. It's happened lots of times. But one was when I was quite young. I was probably about 10 or 11. And it was the first time, I think, I knew, you know, I'd been brought up with Bible stories. I knew the Bible. But it was the first time I can remember God speaking directly to me through his word. And I can't even remember what I was. It was probably something at school and friendships, it usually is at that age. And I was really, really worried and anxious. And then I opened my Bible and it was John 14, verse 1, which JP read earlier. And it was, "Let not your heart be troubled. You have trusted in God, now trust in me." And it was like the room was full of God's Spirit saying, "Don't worry, Hannah. You're mine," you know, and it was just a personal thing, and I can remember that now. And another time was when I went off to uni, left home for the first time. I think I've told this story before. I got there late, so everybody else had gone off to the student union, to what was organised for Freshers Week, and I was all on my own in this cold, didn't have any heating, cold. Things have changed at halls of residence, just saying. It wasn't much fun. I had no heating. My mum and dad left, and I was just sobbing, feeling so alone. And I hadn't even unpacked, and in the room, at those days, they probably don't do it anymore, but there was a Gideon Bible, and I looked up loneliness in the back, and it pointed me to Psalm 121. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of the heaven and earth." And then it goes on to say, "I watch over you. I watch over your coming and going." And it was just like, wow, you know. And as somebody who'd grown up in a Christian family, and I'd gone forward many times to be saved just to make sure, it was just like, this is the time that I was like, yep. God spoke to me, and I made a decision there and then. My time at uni was going to be for him, and it was, you know, I did lots of stuff with the Christian Union. I made sure all my friends knew I was a Christian because I hadn't been so good at that at school, and it was just a really, really, it was the Rhema word of God just speaking to me, saying, "I'm with you, Hannah, I'm yours," and that was amazing. And God speaks to us. And he wants to speak to us today. So we're going to pray about that later as well. And not only is the word of God this, John 1 says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." And it goes on and it says, "The word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is the word of God. And in Jesus also says in John 14 again, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So he's the word and he's the truth. If we want to know the truth, we look at Jesus. And so when we read that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will guide us into all truth, he's leading us to Jesus. Sam Storms, who's an author I like, he wrote, "A key function of the Spirit is to shine a light upon Jesus and reveal his glory and his beauty to us." Another name for the Holy Spirit, actually in Romans 8, is the Spirit of Christ. And I find it such a wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit. There's almost a humility that we look to the Holy Spirit and he points us straight to Jesus. And because we read in Colossians that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father, we then see to the Father. So there's that Trinity. So Holy Spirit points us to Jesus, who points us to the Father, who sends the Holy Spirit, and it's just this cycle. But the Holy Spirit's primary function is to shine a light on Jesus and show us Jesus in his glory. Wonderful. So that's the Spirit of truth. And then the third one I want to look at is, he is called the Spirit of Adoption. And I just want to read from Romans 8, 14 to 17. Let's find it here. It's a well-known scripture. Okay. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And we've looked at this in recent weeks, but I think we just need reminding. Yeah. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry out, Abba, Father. And there's in another version it said, we receive the Spirit of adoption. We receive the Holy Spirit, and his name is the Spirit of adoption. Those that know me will know this is a really dear subject to me, a very close subject. Adoption is such a beautiful, incredible process. And when we read about adoption in the Bible, we see adoption in its fullness and in its completeness, and how God ordained it. Adoption is not a second choice. It's not God's second best plan. It was his first plan that we would be adopted. So when you've been through that process, it just brings that to light in such a real practical way. And here we see the Spirit is called the Spirit of adoption. When we receive the Holy Spirit, when we are saved, has that gone off? When we receive the, shall I use a different one?
It's got to come. I should have put my, my hair up. Hang on. Thank you very much. Thank you. Good. Okay. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we are saved, we receive the Spirit of adoption. And God knows we need that. We need that Spirit of adoption, because without it, we won't be able to grasp and receive the truth that we are no longer slaves, but children of God. He gives us that Spirit of adoption so that we know, like Claire said last time, we know in our knower, somebody I know used to say, we know in our knower that we are sons of God. And it's because of that Spirit of adoption. Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 5 says, even before he made the world, this is incredible, even before he made the world, God loved us. It's amazing. God loved you, David, before he even made the world, and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us. There we go. It was his first choice. It was his plan. He decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. I love that verse. It was what God wanted to do. Nobody twisted his arm and said, go on, I think you ought to. He wanted to. He wanted to adopt us into his family, and it gives him the hugest pleasure when we receive that Spirit of adoption and become his child. 1 John 3, verse 1. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. It thrills his heart to adopt you. Oh, hang on, I'll just take this off. There we are. It thrills his heart to adopt us. It gives him great pleasure. But we have a hard time believing that, because we don't think we're good enough. We don't think we've done enough. We just don't think we're worthy quite very often. And I think our natural tendency is to slip back into that. That's our natural spirit is, I'm not worth it. He didn't mean it, all that rubbish. And so that's why we need the Spirit of adoption. Verse 16 in Romans 8 says, his spirit joins with our spirit. Or another version says, bears witness to our spirit to affirm that, that we are God's children. We don't receive this truth until the Spirit awakens it in our spirit, and then we can cry out, Abba, Father. It's the Spirit that awakens it in our spirit. The NIV version says, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So that word testify, testifying and bearing witness, makes us think of a court scene where there are witnesses who bear witness and testify. And just picture it, as it were, that you were in a court and you were on trial as to whether you were a son of God. And the devil is hurling loads of his kind of lies, saying, yeah, but you did that and you did that. And don't you remember? You never did that. And you're really not good enough. And all these lies that the devil wants us to believe. But then the Holy Spirit stands up in court as your witness and says, this is a child of God. Hallelujah. He stands up in court. You haven't even got to do it yourself. You haven't got to try and find it in yourself. Like, there must be a reason. I'm sure. No, the Holy Spirit stands up and says, this is a child of God. This is your true status. Okay. It's amazing, isn't it? And what does that mean? What does it mean that when the Holy Spirit reminds us of that truth? Three things. Well, there's probably more, but three things I could think of. One is we can be 100% sure all the time of God's love for us as a father. We've just read, see what love the Father has lavished on us. He embraces us in our sinful state with open arms because of what Jesus has done and because of what the Holy Spirit has worked in our lives. He embraces us. Think of the prodigal son who went wayward and ended up with pigs, eating pig food. And think, I'm not good enough, but dragged himself back and the Father came running towards him. We haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. But he gives his love to us unreservedly. And we can be 100% sure of that all the time. And that's what the Holy Spirit reminds us of, the Holy Spirit, that spirit of adoption. The second thing is we can have total confidence in the Father's presence. In the Old Testament, you'll be aware that it was really hard to be in God's presence. In fact, not many people could get into the presence of God. It was reserved for the high priest, and he went into the Holy of Holies on the people's behalf. Only he could go, and he had to do all sorts of stuff to be able to get into that. Read all of Leviticus, and that's your homework for this week. Read Leviticus, and you'll see how hard it was. But Ephesians 3:12 says, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Says in Hebrews as well, and so I haven't written the verse down, I think it's up there. Yeah. And so we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. We can have confidence to boldly enter the Holy of Holies and be in the very presence of God the Father. And that's what the Holy Spirit does when he brings that spirit of adoption. If you think, just thought of this now, but when you've got little children and you're fast asleep in the middle of the night, they think nothing of coming into you in the middle of night, knocking on you, or not even knocking your door, barging in, saying, my tummy hurts, or I'm thirsty, or whatever. They've got confidence to come in. And that's the confidence we can have, just to boldly come in into the presence of God. And the third thing is, because of this, we have joy, fullness of joy. The Psalms say that in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. And that's not just a happiness, that's a joy that's not dependent on circumstances, but it's dependent on our status as children of God. We can have joy. And that's a mystery, but it's a joy in all circumstances. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So that Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, gives us joy because we are in the presence of our Father. So there we are. They were the three names of the Holy Spirit that I wanted to bring. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who's our helper, well, there's all sorts of names just in that one verse, but our helper, our comforter, our strength, our advocate, all those things. He's our helper. He's the Spirit of truth. And he's the Spirit of adoption. The Spirit, there's lots of other names. The Spirit of glory, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. That's just a few. The Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us, we sing, don't we? That's another one. But they're the ones I wanted to highlight. So I just want to give some time now for the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and to touch our spirits. And just as I finished this and I was praying, I just believe there's some here that are feeling really helpless in the situation and circumstance that you're in. You don't know what to do. And you need the helper, the advocate, to bring wisdom and clarity and strength and comfort. So I want to pray for that. I think others really need the comforter to bring peace and rest and strength to weary souls. It's the Holy Spirit wants to come and minister right to your spirit. He wants to mend broken hearts this morning. And others need the Holy Spirit to speak truth to your spirit. He wants to bring a fresh enthusiasm and joy for the Word of God, where it's become stale. And he wants to show you Jesus again in all his beauty and majesty, where you've lost a bit of the wonder of who he is. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes and shows you Jesus again. So we're going to pray for that. And also, he wants to bring his Rhema word into your situation and bring his life-giving power into your spirit. And then I think there's others who need the Spirit of adoption to touch your spirit and remind you of who you are, that you are loved unconditionally and accepted completely because of Jesus and because of the Spirit bearing witness to your spirit that you are a child of God. He wants to remind you that you're not alone in that courtroom, but the Holy Spirit is there. And lastly, he wants to bring fresh joy as you relish being in the presence of your perfect, good, good Father. So I want to ask Tim to come up, if that's okay, and we're going to just give the Holy Spirit time. And I'll just pray now. But if you want to come forward, if you want to respond, there'll be people here who will pray with you. If you want to just sit quietly where you are and let the Holy Spirit minister to you, then that's fine too. But let's just give this 10, 15 minutes that's left, just give the Holy Spirit time to work. So let's just close our eyes and I'll just pray. Father, I thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to save us, to make a way that there seemed to be no way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And Jesus, I want to thank you that you have sent the Holy Spirit to us, who is all these things that we've been looking at and more to us. You didn't leave us as orphans. You left us with your Holy Spirit, that we don't need to struggle in our walk with you. We have all the resources of God within us through the Holy Spirit. thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our helper. Thank you that you are our ever-present help in times of need. And I want to pray for those here who are struggling and don't know the way forward, have no answers. Holy Spirit, would you come and be their help, be their advocate, be their counselor, be their wisdom, Lord. Spirit of wisdom, come right now and bring your wisdom. And those that are just need some comfort and need some binding up of wounds, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come now and bring your comfort. Bring your comfort, Lord. Bring your peace. Where they're striving, Lord, bring your peace. Holy Spirit, come right now. Bring your peace. Hallelujah. Father and Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just come now and show us Jesus again. Show us Jesus in all his glory and his majesty and his beauty and his love and his faithfulness and his goodness. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see Jesus again. Where our faith has become stale, where our view of Jesus has become humdrum and just normal, God, just show us your glory again. Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I too pray that you would bring your Rhema word into lives right now and in this coming week as we open your word. Bring your life, Lord. Bring your change situations. Bring a supernatural healing and restoration and salvation as we speak, as we open your word and speak your truth. Holy Spirit, come. And lastly, Lord, I want to pray, Spirit of adoption, come and just resonate with our spirits. Bear witness to our spirits now that we are loved, that we are accepted unconditionally, that there is nothing we can do to earn your love more, and there is nothing we can do to earn it less. We are loved and accepted. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bring that truth from our minds to our spirits, and that let that change the way we think of ourselves and the way we deal with others, because we know we are children of God. So Holy Spirit, come. Thank you that you know each person here. You know what each person needs. And I pray that you would come as they need it into their lives right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just spend some time now. Just receive all that the Holy Spirit wants to do as Tim just plays and sings. Amen.
Jesus is in this room, here right now, here right now, making this place I stand, holy ground, holy ground. Your Spirit moves and breathes all around, all around, all good and perfect things flowing down, flowing down. All of the heavens singing along with the saints and praises they sing never seem to get old. I'll stay here forever singing, holy, holy, holy Lord. God Almighty. gentle love calling me closer still, Jesus, your God. King enthroned in glorious splendor.